Entrepreneurship. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make. Jane Goodall. Free market systems allow customers the freedom to make decisions about the products they purchase. Free markets function best when information distribution is freer. If allowed, wisdom of the crowd naturally has an uncanny ability to pick the best products. It begs the question, what is involved in choice? We covered how the human mind can be populated with information and ideas, language, academic pursuit, and other information. How is the wisdom of the crowd affected by the information we put into the minds of children in school? When I was attending school in Kingman, Arizona, something called Channel 1 made its way into classrooms. Channel 1 was how Anderson Cooper of CNN got his start. With a captive audience of young people, world news and information was showed to every student in the school for 15 minutes a day. The show had commercials for delicious, fatty, and sugary snacks like Snickers, soda, and Doritos. Why did they do this? As my generation grew, those ads shaped our decisions when we started making our own money and going to the store. When we started watching television, it shaped our tastes about which newscasters we might want to watch. If it wasn't to predispose our decisions about purchases and so on, why was so much money invested to pipe that content into the classroom? Recall the way the brain works. Garbage in, garbage out. To have an effective free market, young people must learn skills of discernment and how to make good choices. They must not be convinced about various products' quality from paid commercials from the producers of the products. The ability to choose requires training around a specific skill set, healthy skepticism, and substantive differences in product features and quality. If young people are simply trained to only purchase products from one organization or another, the free market will cease to exist. This method of undermining a free market is nefarious and relatively silent, as most households, too preoccupied with chasing the mostly unattainable goal of solvency, have no access to what is happening in the classroom. Another method that is more overt is sending in Jacobins to physically prevent the conception, production, and distribution of a product or its information to potential customers. In this case, a product might be better and less expensive, but it is not allowed to be marketed because it doesn't benefit the people who employ the Jacobins. I believe this phenomenon is happening in the cannabis industry now, and many other industries as well. A market segment is a community of people who are like-minded, who have access to and are influenced by the same information about products and services. Some examples are Catholics, Freemasons, African Americans, 21 to 40-year-old males, college graduates, and unmarried 20 to 30-year-old females. The segments often overlap. For instance, Catholic, unmarried, 20 to 30-year-old, female college graduates. Different products and information are disseminated to different markets. Sometimes product information is censored or withheld from people in a market segment. In a community, some businesses and products are more essential than others. Transportation, food, water, clothing, and shelter are fundamentally more important than high-end designer clothes, for instance. If these more essential products are disrupted or taken away, it can cause chaos and crisis in our communities. In a high-functioning free market with discerning customers, a careful consideration is made for new products based on the truth of the quality of those new products. In a market chocked full of ignorant and programmed participants, easily duped by manipulative and sophisticated advertising, inferior products can be shilled out to the market, creating dangerous situations. As our people became dumbed down, community leaders were driven to create protections around market access, giving certain people within the community power to decide what products can enter a market. These people are called gatekeepers. When functioning properly, the wisdom of the crowd is the most cost-efficient and effective gatekeeper. It's a straightforward way to imagine how leadership-based market gatekeepers are installed as customers are dumbed down in the classroom, at home, and through poor diet and shoddy access to good information. It's important to note that the way back is not so clear, seeing as how when a person gets that kind of power, it's almost always abused and rarely ceded. Market gatekeepers use the power of their organizations, Catholic Church, Masonic Lodges, etc., to pressure new entrants into a market to cease and desist, to slow access to markets and sales, to limit access to supply chain resources to produce product, and to impede the development of new products and services. Corruptible as they are, these market gatekeepers age and run out of energy and fervor to keep up with the responsibility of product quality analysis. Favors are purchased, good products don't get a fair shake, products relating to free and private communications in particular are primary targets of gatekeepers since these products impede the ability of gatekeepers to control market access through manipulation of information. Money is an information system. Each unit of currency stores information that maps a product to its value. Money is not inherently valuable beyond its ability to reduce transaction costs. For instance, if you're a pig farmer, you don't have pigs for sale year-round, but you need butter, sugar, beef, clothing, building supplies year-round. So, you raise your pigs, then you take them to market. It is inefficient to trade for a year's supply of eggs only at the time your hogs are ready for sale. It's also less efficient and more difficult to try to raise hogs in a pipeline where you can take a hog to market as needed. Many other products also develop naturally on a seed-to-harvest schedule determined not by our need for regular supply of toilet paper, but rather determined based on the cycle of the seasons. So, rather than trading hogs at market for a year's worth of products that might fill multiple semi-trucks, the hog farmer is able to convert his work product into currency, which holds the value of the hogs he produced, that he can then trade as needed for the goods and services that make his good life possible. Hogs are valuable. Currency is not valuable beyond its ability to store the value of the hogs produced, for example. Things shift quickly in a dynamic economy and in a large nation state. They shift in many aspects at once. One such shift occurring is how products come to market, which affects the public's perception of marketing. Often, people get wrong what it means to operate in a free market economy or some other type of economy. When you hear the term marketing, what image pops into your mind? Is it crafting and putting an ad onto the radio to advertise your product? Is it making direct calls to customers? Both of these things are correct, but they are only two aspects of a process that is known as marketing. At its core, marketing is the definition and creation of a product that discerning people will buy to make life easier without creating negative externalities. If a product doesn't exist yet, marketing can't be advertising or direct sales because there's no product to sell. So, for entrepreneurship, wherein a product is novel and doesn't exist yet, marketing is a thought process that starts with a question like, what would add value for the market? Once you have an idea, it's time to build the product. Building initial versions of a product or service is part of the marketing process. Taking that prototype product to people you think will want to purchase it is marketing, which might include the testing of some advertising messages through social media or a magnetic sign on your car. Once an entrepreneur figures out a product and has some evidence that the market wants the product on the product's merits, in a free market system, the entrepreneur begins advertising, sales, operations, and fulfillment. Each of these processes is not marketing in and of itself, but marketing is the process of monitoring these processes and looking for opportunities to improve the product. I often see entrepreneurs and inventors creating a product, then going to sales and calling the sales and advertising process marketing. This is not correct. In the case of a more fascistic economy with gatekeepers, And in addition to interviewing customers about product attributes, navigating past gatekeepers can be difficult. While part of the sales process technically, it is important to the process of marketing, which can be informed by those interactions with gatekeepers too. Unfortunately, gatekeepers won't always care about product attributes, quality, or efficacy, and the marketing process must include bribes or other considerations to allow access to markets and build that into the cost structure. The process of considering the size of the market, the cost of reaching customers, and the cost of the production of the product are part of the marketing process, which is informed by the advertising effectiveness, sales, and customer feedback. However, advertising, sales, and customer relations are not marketing by themselves. Marketing taps into the entire process of producing, selling, and supporting a product, but only to glean that information that will inform the addition or subtraction of a product's attributes based on a product's perceived or estimated value to the market. One of the largest gatekeepers extends from, into, and around the U.S. military-industrial complex. These agencies, as a matter of course, have infiltrated families, organizations, churches, social clubs, fraternities, governments, bars, and schools. The classification of products that draws most of their focus is secure and private communication systems. Consider the case of Joseph Nocio, former CEO of Quest Communications. Nocio refused to sign contracts with intelligence agencies post 9/11. Post-Patriot Act. Nocio claimed that the government stopped offering the company lucrative contracts after Quest refused to cooperate with a National Security Agency surveillance program in February 2001. Nocio stood up for his market and his customers. He served 4 years in prison for insider trading charges he claims were dubious and retaliatory as the NSA used its influence in the prosecutorial and judiciaries. There have been many stories written about Nocio, but I recommend hearing his version of the story in his post-incarceration interviews. This is a profound example of market gatekeepers exhibiting psychopathic behavior by not respecting the privacy of civilians domestically they took an oath to protect. The Patriot Act created a constitutional crisis. Post-World War II ripped open the U.S. war chest, which may not have been adequately and sufficiently and formally closed by Congress post-surrender. Since then, global conflict and foreign war theaters have been used as cover to develop and test the technology now being deployed in the United States against pro-America civilians. U.S. citizens pay a monthly fee for electricity and computing access and devices, which in turn are used by the surveillance state to siphon information in violation of our nation's core and founding values and principles. U.S. citizens are subsidizing their own imprisonment through acts of various levels of government, which have created suitable conditions for another U.S. civil war. Don't blame the messengers, though. Edward Snowden and Julian Assange informed the American people about what was happening early enough that it gives us an opportunity to right the course, pull the bus out of the ditch, and see if we can get this thing back on track. Well, the Lucifer effect is the phenomenon discovered by Philip Zimbardo where people go from being individually moral to becoming evil, corrupt, and often brutal toward other people as a result of pressure under specific group circumstances. What does it mean in the context of a new entrepreneurial venture's market gatekeepers? Gatekeepers, in a way, are keeping people cordoned off away from market opportunities like herd animals or prisoners. This is the byproduct of the Patriot Act surveillance state, a bleedover of U.S. military operations to the private domestic sector. The result is that the entrepreneurship community has accepted the challenge and shifted its focus from creating good products to creating freedoms to subvert those who would create a worldwide panopticon to mercilessly spy on people who fund its construction through rampant taxation. This is the Lucifer effect, how good people turn evil or subversive when treated like prisoners, and how people turn evil when given ultimate power over others. Access to free and fair markets changes the activities of entrepreneurs fundamentally away from this subversive behavior and back to generating value again through the development of good products. In our family education model, we work on projects. Some of those projects were new ventures or new businesses. What follows is a list of short case studies for the new ventures we created and launched from our family farm education plantation. Public skate parks have use conflicts between gravity propulsion vehicles like skateboards and scooters and chain propulsion vehicles like the BMX bicycle. Curb rider flow pedals convert BMX bicycles into gravity-propelled vehicles in public skate parks. I recruited the best riders in Arizona to research and test the concept in skate parks from Obregon, Mexico to Denver, Colorado. I obtained the patent, and the first version of the product was high-pressure injection molded using extra-strength nylon. We launched the product in Tucson, Arizona at the local racetrack. A public smear campaign likely organized by the skateboard community chilled interest in the product. We had no ability to fund legal recourse, and the business has gone fallow. The food supply chain can be unpredictable. Diets can often be deficient in critical nutrients, including those coming from vegetables. Scaling up and down in agriculture can be very difficult and take time, which magnifies the effects of a crisis wherein quick changes can make a big difference. So, we learned to grow sprouts. We took our product to the local farmers market and developed sales channels to local restaurants and a local grocer. We had repeat orders for our sprouts, whose quality was recognized by local restaurateurs and foodies. We created a trade secret process to automate the production of sprouts, including solving the difficult dehulling process, which made the sprouts last longer on the shelf. We conducted interviews and surveys with our customers. I researched the Arizona market and leveraged contacts with the University of Arizona to plan an Arizona rollout. An investor committed to supporting the plan. Our planned growth strategy of the Arizona rollout required capital. Our investor, though, inexplicably backed out before we began a planned staged rollout. South Dakota's market alone was not enough to support the aggressive growth strategy we required to meet our own cash flow standards for new ventures. Go big or go home. Main Street America needs privacy-certified sales channels wherein customers are not subjected to military-grade neurolinguistic programming for which toothpaste to buy, for example. We conducted surveys of local businesses and customers, the vast majority of whom support privacy on the internet. We created simple software to allow people to submit sales pitches to our existing audience of interested supporters and detractors. We placed signs at the second busiest intersection in Spearfish. We entered an agreement with a local collector to feature his items regularly to help jumpstart the business. We tested our model, customer by customer, with a weekly yard sale in our driveway. The business failed because we were unable to entice more vendors forward to use our service. They are trapped in traditional social media paradigms. Our partner inexplicably backed out, and his collection was not sold through our channel. As such, interest was lackluster as we did not have a consistent listing of products for sale through our channel. And we didn't have an advertising budget available. This one was going to have to self-spark, and unfortunately the flame sputtered before getting things hot enough despite several thousand dollars in sales. Enterprises are in need of distillation and miniaturization of their software to make it more maintainable and more scalable. I created DB to DOM as a miniature version of the enterprise services running on major systems. Some of the method was validated through three engagements producing secure encryption software for Canada's largest credit union. The product was produced in our software lab between contracts, on nights, and on weekends. We used the product to create new software quickly for many different customers. The software was used in three consecutive Congressional App Challenge victories and is approaching $100,000 in sales revenue for direct and indirect projects. We also documented first line-of-sight opportunities for several other software inventions and ventures. There are many people out there struggling to figure out how we can improve U.S. education and uphold our values. We went through 19 years of crafting and testing our family education model, and now we've put some of our ideas to this book. We're validating our book through direct market research. We wrote the book on the road to and from the Congressional App Challenge demonstrations in Washington, D.C. in 2024. Market testing of our product is ongoing. We've published the book, and sales and promotions are ongoing. Said the Pledge of Allegiance in German. In high school I'd almost forgotten. Ich gebe mein Pfand zu der Flagge. Die Vereinigten Staaten. And I went to many schools, thinking that I owned myself, till I noticed that all of my actions only made other people's wealth. So I went to college for knowledge, and at the time had I known it, that information is pure, unadulterated power to anyone who's ever claimed they owned it. Why can't they just let us exist? Why can't they just let us exist?